What a cool church. We got people that are coming from Africa and people that are coming to Oceanside. And we got people going to Asia. And isn't it cool seeing God move all around this world and that he's not done yet? Sometimes we only see the bad news of what's happening in the world. And then you come to church and you're like, oh my gosh, is there anything good happening? And next thing you know, all around the world, we've hit Africa, Asia, Oceanside. I think we need to add some more. Why not? So I just wanted to share with you a little bit about what is on my heart. My wife and I, we live in Cambodia, like Brian was sharing. And if you ever want to follow us on Facebook, we work with an NGO called ICF. It stands for International Christian Fellowship. And we serve around 800 children and youth every week. We serve meals and we teach them about Jesus and we go to their families. We have a social work program for around 150 families that we work with and with around 350 kids that we help get school and everything. And we have a lot of fun doing that. Bethany goes into the villages every day with Anna Jack, our daughter, and shares Jesus to them with a lot of love, a lot of faith. If you ever want to come visit and see it hands-on, just talk to the missions team here. We'll help set you up with the trip maybe someday. I work with the church mostly, so my job is setting up discipleship for the church, small groups, organizing the growth. We saw this crazy growth happen in our church where we went from like 12 teenagers to 400. We saw like 80 kids, church of 80 to go to 350, and our adult services went from like 50 to now 120. So we're trying to maintain, yeah, God's cool, right? So we're just trying, what we're trying to do at this point is we're just trying to catch up and say, okay, well, how can we help you grow in your relationship with God? And so when I get back, what I'm doing is, when I get back, is I'm going to create, we created a youth camp. I've never done a Christian youth camp before. I've done like outreach camps and I've done mission trips, but this is so new to me, and we're going to create a time where we're going to take these kids, we've chosen about 38 of them. They volunteer in the church. They're really dedicated to growing their relationship with God. And we're going to take them to see the ocean for the first time in their lives. And we're going to talk all about how God made this creation beautiful so you can see how beautiful he is inside of you. And we're going to do this fun journey. And then all these things we're doing is we're just responding to a word that Jesus spoke to us. Can you guess what that word is? Nailed it. You can show it. They picked it right. It's go. you're smart. You're smarter than I thought you were. So, oh, I shouldn't have said that so loud. Okay. Jesus said to go. And when I was praying for us and what's happening, we all these mission scenes going on, and I was talking with Brian, the word go, God was speaking to my heart about what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean to leave. It doesn't mean to just get up and take off and randomly walk somewhere. When Jesus said, go, he's speaking to your creativity, he's speaking to your ability, and he's speaking to you to love someone next to you. Let me say that again. Go doesn't mean to just leave the room and say, oh, I've exited the building and I answered the calling Jesus gave me. It means he's speaking to your ability to pray for people, your ability to love people, your ability to be there for someone that needs that. He's talking to your ability to discipleship and build friendships up, to build this church up. That's why when we, at a church, we say, Jesus says, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel. We got people coming to Oceanside. We got people going to Africa. It's because go doesn't mean to just leave the door. It means to go, it means to be with the people and share the love of Jesus there. And if we get this, that go doesn't mean to just leave, but it means to be there with Christ in someone's life. I mean, think about it. Who has God put in your life? Is it your family? Your friend? A coworker? What is the go that Jesus is saying to you to be there for? Does that make sense? It's not a leave, it's a be there. It's a state of being, a place in your heart to go. I realized this when I looked at this poor child in Cambodia. This child didn't have a lot of money, didn't have a lot going for him. And when you see them, you think, okay, God said go. It's a dark world. I go and I'm there now. I'm here. And this little poor child comes up to you. And then you have to answer the next question. What do I do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do when you get to the place where God told you to go? What are we going to do when we get to the Africa children? It's, you know, you can travel all the way to a place, and I see this sometimes in myself. I'll go all the way there, and I finally get there, and suddenly I shut down. You know what I'm talking about? And you're like, oh, man, I don't know if I ate something. I went to food coma. Or if I'm just tired now, or my mind checks out sometimes. I know none of you do this, but maybe it's just me. And you just check out, and you're just like, and you panic, right? It's like, I don't know what to do. This is the place where God's saying, go. That's where the word go should kick in, right there. You say, I'm here for you. Because God wants us to look at this person's heart, and he wants to say, hey, there's a spirit in this person that I want you to connect with. That you have a heart for Jesus, I want you to help connect them to the Spirit of Christ. They have a mind. I want them to understand who Jesus is and who God is. I don't want them to just be mentally disconnected from you. I want you to go and mentally speak to them. They have a physical body in need. Maybe they need food. Maybe they need clothing. Maybe they just need your time. It's some sort of physical need they might have. I'm calling you to go and be there for them because they have a soul that will count for eternity. And I'm calling you to go and be there to that soul and say, hey, I want you to know Jesus and the saving love of God and his grace and the message he offers for salvation because there's an eternity at stake here. And this is what God calls us to go. And I saw this so well in the story of the 72. You know, I'm talking about the Team 72 where Jesus gets 72 random people together. And I was thinking about these guys. You know, what's funny is before Team 72, you know what Jesus says? He's talking about, like, if you don't turn yourself from the plow, you're not worthy of my calling. Don't deny your father. I actually read that verse on Father's Day, and I told Anna Jack, you're not allowed to do this. My daughter said, you can't forsake your father. But right after that, in Luke 10, he says this, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Jesus gives I just want to highlight the few things that God spoke to me about this, about go. Because go is so important for us to grab a hold of. And I believe that we're talking about missions today. I believe that we're talking about Cambodia. I believe that this team's coming, and it didn't just happen by accident. What I think God is doing is he's actually transforming our hearts to understand go is a nonstop motion of my heart, where I'm constantly looking, who is next, God, that you want me to love on, to be there for, to care for, and to invite into my life. Jesus gives a few commands in this, a few points that he states to do and that he sets up for these 72. And these guys aren't popular. We don't know their names. You know, they're not famous, but they're the 72 he appointed. You may not be popular. People may not know your name. You may not be like the next Billy Graham or whatever is popular nowadays. But you know what? He appointed you. You are called to go and be there for someone. So the first thing Jesus calls when he's calling us is he sets us up two by two. I love this because life is so much better together. I'm not talking about marriage, although I love marriage, honey, okay? Best thing I ever, yeah, good. All right. I'm not just talking about marriage, I'm talking about friendships. Now, you may not get to choose the friend that you want to be with, right? Or the person that God puts you with. But sometimes he puts you with somebody that you don't expect. Like he could put you up with somebody like this guy. And you don't plan for that. Remember him? Yeah. Long time ago. This guy, I was going through a hard time in my life where, and maybe you've experienced hard times in your lives, maybe you haven't. And God put on this guy's heart to call me the very day that I said, God, I feel like I have a calling in my life, but I just don't know how to get back because I'm going through a lot of trouble times, a lot of pain in my life. I was going through a divorce at the time, and I just had a lot of hurt in my heart. And I just was in my living room, I was praying, and I said, God, I feel like there's a calling inside me to go and share your love to people around me, but I just can't get back up again. And I had a lot of friends get beside me. But when I was in that weak moment, this guy randomly calls me in my living room and says, Eddie, I want to just connect with you, and I want to do ministry with you. Let's go to Uganda, and let's do some stuff for Jesus. So my response was like, no. And if you know Willie, you know what he said? Yeah. Was that good? I was going for it. And he got me to go. So the first thing that I see in this is that God calls us to go. So here's my question to you. Who are you inviting into your life? Or who are you asking to be a part of in life with? Who are you saying, hey, I would like to be a part of, I see what you're doing. I see you serving in the security team. I see you working hard. Can I just hang out with you and join you in what you're doing? Or, hey, you know what? I'm doing this ministry, and I would love you to come join me in this ministry or in this time. We got to be at one place or the other, guys. There's no middle ground here. Either you're building community or you're not. Where are you at? Are you inviting somebody? Or are you asking to be a part of somebody? I see so many people in this room. You guys are huge inviters. I get invitations from you all the time. Thank you, by the way, to be a part of your lives. Keep doing that. Don't stop inviting people into what God's doing in your life. Sometimes we feel like so embarrassed by how bad we are. We feel like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like I'm not good enough at what I do. I can't invite somebody into it. Get over that. Let God bring people into your life. Open your heart up to that. Not just anyone. Be wise who you choose, but two by two, God sets it up. And I love that Jesus did this, right? Two by two, sets them up together. So here we go. We have this situation now where it's this lost world. People are dying, going to hell. And Jesus says, okay, two by two, got them together. Okay, you and you together, you and you together, you and you together. Got it, okay? Make friends, shake hands. Greeting time. Good. Done. Okay, now I want you to... You know, I would think he would say the same thing. But Jesus is not as smart as us. Oh, no, he's much smarter. Jesus says this. He says, I want you to get together and pray for workers. Right? Like, what? There's this... But people are dying and we're together and now we got to do what? We got to get God's heart for what we're going to do when we go. Sometimes we see a need and we think, I fix it and we get over there, but we don't do it with God's heart. And Jesus says, I put them together. The harvest is plentiful. I mean, he's like putting them into the prime, right? He's like, look at the harvest. Oh my gosh, it's plentiful. We're ready to go get it. You know what we should do? Pray for the workers. Pray for them to go. Get their passion. I mean, you know what it's like to be around people with that passion and that love and that zeal for God? Pray for the workers. In Cambodia, we learn this in our small groups. We get together and we pray. We two by two, we get together and we pray for each other. We pray for what we're doing. If you show the next picture, we do this every week. And we don't do it just as a ritual. We do this because we want to get God's heart for our families. See, these kids all come to church, but their parents don't. So before we send them out to go say, hey, go share Jesus to your mom and dad, we pray for them. We commission them. We love on them because we want them to get God's heart. So when they're sharing about Jesus, it's coming out in that way. Does that make sense? We don't want to just show up and be like, I have arrived. That's a dangerous thing. We want to make sure that our heart's in the right place and we're ready to go. And then Jesus finally says, go. The word comes. He says, all right, you got together two by two. Your hearts are all prayed up. You got the right focus and attitude. You're going to pray for the sick, cast out demons. I want you to go. And Jesus calls us to go. And when you go, you got to just step out and try your ideas. You guys have creative ideas that have not been unlocked yet, or you have ministries that are just getting started, or you're doing ministries now. Keep doing those things. It could be taking care of a child. It could be a ministry that's a foster child. It could be going out and praying for people in the streets. It could be serving here in the church with the usher team or things like this, worship team. Your go can look different in different ways. But the point is to go, to do something with what God gave you. It's easier. Now, this is my own proverb. You want to hear an Eddie proverb? Okay. It's easier to tell a Mustang to whoa. Like, you know what a Mustang is? It looks like this. It's easier to tell the Mustang to whoa than to tell a donkey to go. You get it? It's easier to say whoa, whoa, whoa to a Mustang than to try to get the donkey to go. Don't be the donkey. Don't be the one that's like, oh, I'm stuck in my fear. I don't know. I don't really know if this is good, like people want to be a part of my life. I don't know if I can do this or from, you know that hesitation? Don't get stuck in that. Get caught up in the imagination, the creativity that God put in you, and the hope and the belief that God's got something big for you. And let it just flow. And it may be just the big thing could be the relationship of the person you're working with and sharing Jesus to that person. That could be the go that God's got on your heart. And I sense that someone here today, you're working with somebody that God has been putting on your heart. Go. Don't be the donkey. Be the Mustang where God's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Back up a little bit. You know what I mean? Let's work on how you're talking to this person. Because God loves that kind of attitude of like, I'm just going to go for it. And I'm gonna get messy and I'm going to make mistakes and it may not look perfect, but I'm going to go. And each day I'm going to take a step and I'm going to learn. I'm going to get better and stronger and wiser because God's not done with me. My author and perfecter of my faith, he's still writing the story for me. And I'm not done yet. The last thing Jesus says here, and this kind of freaks me out a little bit, is he says, I'm going to send you like lambs among wolves. The God who loves us, and we sang about this, how good he is. Can we sing that song again? Do we have the worship band in here, or is they leave? Oh, there. If you guys want to come up. He sends us like lambs among wolves. I have a daughter. I love my little girl so much. I would never send her to a bunch of wolves. So why would a God who loves us say, hey, I'm going to send you, I love you, I'm going to send you like a lamb among a wolf? How can I trust a God that would do that? Because this God knows how to keep it real. He's going to tell you, hey, this isn't all going to be roses and perfect picture of like they were sharing about the Pinewood Derby thing. I mean, come on. You put the thing together and it has no electrical cord? Things go bad. They do. And if you don't know that, you can end up being just a slaughtered lamb. But Jesus is saying, I'm going to be with you. I'm sending you like lambs among wolves ahead of me, and you can trust me. What is Jesus saying here? Because he even goes into more detail in this section. He says, like, if people reject you, if you have to tap the dust off your feet and walk away from them. Why is Jesus saying this? It's because we need to be people that know how to carry rejection and disappointment and still love. We need to learn how to adapt, to understand not everyone is going to be sweet and kind like you're going to be. Not everyone's going to show the love back to you. And you need to know how to carry yourself and say, you know what? The Prince of Peace rules my heart. And I'm going to trust him even when I'm among wolves. I'm going to follow Jesus even when it gets a little scary for me. There's a wolf that you're facing in your life. where you felt the call in your heart to go to somebody to love on them, but there's to do something for God. But there's a wolf that you're facing, and it scares you because you know it can hurt. But there's a powerful thing in our hearts when we're able to look at the wolf and we're able to say, God is good, to the pain, to the frustration, where we can look at our tragedy in our life and we can say with tears in our eyes and a broken heart, God, you are good, and I will still have hope that you will protect me as a lamb among wolves. God, I will face my tragedies and my pain and my fears, and I will go like a lamb among wolves, because nothing's gonna stop me. Nothing's gonna hold me down, because you are always good. Do you feel that in your heart? I will face my wolves because God will always be good. That's the power of Jesus inside of you. That a lamb can face wolves. That a lamb can face wolves is crazy, because God is crazy powerful in you. You can face the tragedy and rejection. You can face the fear because the go has been said. The calling has been made. It's only a question of, will you answer it? Will you be there for the people around you? Let's stand and let's pray. And let's open our hearts up to say, God, what is the wolf that I need to look at and say, you are good. You are good. Yes, Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come now and fill our hearts with your presence. We thank you that you're moving around the world and you're transforming the lives of people. We thank you, God, that orphans are getting loved, that widows are being cared for, that the lost are being found, and that transformation is happening in our city and the world around us. But God, we look at all the addiction, we look at all the poverty, we face it on and we say, you are good and hope is coming. We say, you are not done yet. And we declare victory is for today. The message of Jesus will carry out through us. And people will know how good you are, because we're going to look at the wolves and we're going to say, Jesus is good. Jesus is good. You can trust him through the tragedy. You can trust him through the pain, through the fear. Jesus is good. And it's never going to stop. And it's never going to hold me down.